Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jim Hughes. Jim is the owner of Brick and Fire Bistro. Jim, tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get enthusiastic about food and cooking and things like that, like even as a child?
I started wanting to learn to cook when I was probably 7 or 8 years old. Older brothers and sisters, mostly sisters, started teaching me things. Loved to make cookies and desserts because no one would make them, so I had to make them myself. And so that kind of started this whole progression. I used to, as a kid, love to forage for foods even. I would go out into the woods and find wild strawberries, wild onions, and things like that, and I'd start bringing them home, and I'd make salads or something for my family. They thought I was kind of crazy. And I just really developed this passion for cooking. I was kind of really self-taught in a lot of ways. I used to like to just experiment and try and make something more than what the recipe called for, even as a young kid. My mother was a classic June Cleaver kind of cook, and so it wasn't a lot of exciting food, and I knew there was more, and so I was kind of took off on my own to bring this into my life. And I became just real passionate about it. I opened my first restaurant in my bedroom when I was 10 years old and served out of my bedroom window to the kids in the neighborhood.
Well, and they were appreciative of the things that you had to offer, I'm sure.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Some of the things that I would go collect and kind of come up with some kooky things, they kind of steered away from. They would go for the peanut butter and jelly sandwich with potato chips inside or something.
So after you started your own restaurant in your bedroom, then did you go and work in the restaurant industry in various places as well?
I did. I started as a dishwasher when I was 13 years old, I believe, and worked part-time there on weekend evenings. My sister was the manager of this restaurant and kind of picked up the passion, the drive, the adrenaline of the restaurant business and was eager to learn more. By the time I was 15 or 16, I had worked myself up to being one of the line cooks at this restaurant, which they'd never had one younger than, 20 years old. And here I was, a 15-year-old trying to, in the kitchen doing this. I was just thirsty for the knowledge of cooking, and I learned a lot. It was a French bistro in a real rustic kind of sense, and just immersed myself and tried to learn everything I could and just paid attention to what other people were doing and learned a lot there. Really sparked my drive to create food in a personal way. I was passionate about taking these foods and seeing what I can do with them. Not what everyone tells me to do, but what can I really do to this? And really learning about the food product itself, understanding an onion, and that excited me for some strange reason. But then I went off to college, was studying veterinary medicine, which I ended up dropping out of that. So I stopped the restaurant business for a while, but then in summer came back home and got a job in a local restaurant for the summer and just fell in love with it, fell in love with the camaraderie of this group of people working together. There's a certain bond and like I said, this adrenaline rush from the speed of a restaurant, kind of going, that it's kind of intoxicating in a way.
It seems like every night it's like putting on a show.
It is.
And
it
so
is.
you get ready, you get that adrenaline rush, you got to make sure everything's ready to go, and then the show starts.
Yeah. And there's so many different dynamics playing into the production of a night in a restaurant, It's certainly not a monotone kind of thing.
And how did you decide to start your own restaurant?
Well, I've been running restaurants for other people for a very long time and felt like I had developed the chops and the knowledge and a reputation that I could succeed if I opened my own restaurant. And that was my, goal is, you're not going to really make that much money working for someone else's restaurant. it's a limited kind of thing. So I had my eye on that for probably a decade. And it took me that long to find the right place, find the right time, for everything just to fall in place, you know. But I knew that that's what I wanted to eventually do.
Well, let's talk about the location, because it's a really unique location for a restaurant.
It is. Situated right in the middle of a small neighborhood, kind of off the beaten path of other retail areas, which I think adds a lot of little cozy neighborhood atmosphere to the place. You know, it's a little hidden gem that you stumble upon kind of thing. I was living in Santa Cruz, and my best friends lived up here, and they knew I was looking for restaurant space in Santa Cruz. They called me one day and said, there's this awesome little place with this most amazing brick oven. It would be perfect for your restaurant. You should come check it out. And I said, I'm not going to move to Eureka. I said, okay, I'll come check it out. And I came up, drove up, looked at it, walked in the door, and God beam shot out of the ceiling.
La.
You know, I got goosebumps. I immediately knew as I walked in the door that that was my restaurant. Right, within seconds, I just walked in. Tears started coming out of the corner of my eye because I just felt, oh my God, I'm home. Here it is. And I had no plans of moving to Eureka and doing this, you know, but that's the way it happened.
That's amazing. That's amazing to know that strongly that something was right. How do you describe your menu to people who have never been to your restaurant before?
Well, I describe it as kind of a rustic Mediterranean cuisine with an emphasis on local and unique products.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't quite tell you everything about the place.
But you need to leave some mystique.
Yes, you do. You do.
Now, I'm thinking about flavor layering, because I think one of the things that, most Americans are used to a diet that has become pretty bland, I think. And trying to encourage people to try different flavors, I mean, I think that you guys do a really good job of that.
Thank you.
What sorts of things that do you maybe have at hand or have on your shelf that are ingredients for your food that I think people might find interesting or surprising?
Well, really, as far as how I approach food, one with the layering of flavors is really coming as a balance between the acids and sugars and salts and umami flavors. And, you know, there's some tips and tricks that, you know, you can use along the way, but it really comes down to just quality ingredients, you know. And I really love this area because of the abundance of great local products raised usually in a very sustainable and flavorful way. You know, there's a common core of when you raise food properly, it comes through in the flavors. And so that's really my most important trick, is respecting the product and learning about the product and understanding it, understanding what it can do and the nuances of it and how to bring out its core characters, you know, by pairing it with other things or how it's cooked, things like that. So it's not a certain ingredients that I have at hand. I mean, I guess I do lean towards, you know, wild mushrooms is one of my favorite go-tos. I've been an avid mushroom hunter for 25 years, so I've learned a lot about them, what I can do with them. And other, you know, I like to find unique products, things that aren't utilized in general population, you know, some of those odd offbeat ingredients, and kind of bring them to people in an accessible way.
You know, Jim, we've got so much to talk about. I'm hoping that we can come back next week and talk some more about the ingredients you use and how you use them at Brick and Fire.
All right.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.